Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Managing Your Digital Presence While Job Seeking, Part 1 of 1.
The questions that this cast answers are, why should I look at my digital presence before looking for a new job? What should I be looking for in my digital presence before looking for a new job? And how do I keep my digital presence updated?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If your New Year's resolution is to improve your work-life balance, Manager Tools can help. We're here to provide you with hours of uninterrupted content and easy-to-read show notes for all of our Career Tools, Manager Tools, and even Executive Tools podcasts. Topics like work-life balance, the yellow peanut M&M analogy, the three most effective calendar management hacks, and so many more. All designed to help you take control of your time in 2025. Become a licensee today to gain access to our archive of podcasts and their show notes, and to set your new year off on the right foot. Learn more by visiting us at manager-tools.com/licenses.
There are more people in the job market in January than any other time because many professionals use the Christmas break to reflect on their careers, and sometimes they think, I don't want to go back in January. And sometimes they think, it's my New Year's resolution to change my job and upgrade. And sometimes it was my New Year's resolution the last 3 years. And so they come at it really enthusiastically on January 1st. But the trend is so significant that it affects the entire job market's liquidity. And January and early February, there's more people looking, interviewing, and moving into new positions than any other time of year. And when I looked at something yesterday, it said 2/3 of the workforce at any one time are looking for a new job.
Oh, wow.
And 1/3 is actually in the process of having a new job, like going through the interview process to onboarding. So if you think 1/3 at any time, how much more that must be in January and February. So if you're one of those people, you're probably updating your resume right now, but your resume isn't the only thing that hiring managers look at in 2024 or later, if you're looking up. And even if you're not looking right now, even if you're not, you're in that third that have decided you're staying, or you've just started a new job, the professionals with the best careers always stay open to opportunities, meaning they're always willing to discuss promising new roles, even when they're content in their current position. And that means more than having an up-to-date resume when somebody asks for it, your digital presence often makes a first impression long before your resume is seen. In fact, probably people are only asking for your resume after they've seen some of your digital presence. So in today's episode, we'll walk through making sure that that first impression is a good one.
So what we're going to cover is how to audit your digital presence and updating everything, including your profile pictures. And lastly, reach out to your network.
So this is pretty short and easy, I think. It just might take some time because it's probably more involved than the tasks that we're going to give you sound like. But we're going to start with LinkedIn because that's the de facto website for presenting your digital profile. It's the place that someone is most likely to look at first if they want to know something about your professional life. So we're going to start there. But before you actually start on LinkedIn, we recommend you make a list of all of the other places that you appear digitally. And to get you started, here's a list of websites that you might have a presence on. And they're not all as obvious as you might think. So for tech professionals, GitHub for code repositories, Stack Overflow for Q&A contributions, Dev.2 for technical blog posts, Medium for longer technical articles, Docker Hub for container images, PYPL or NPM for package contributions.
And then for creative professionals, look at Behance for design portfolios, Dribbble for design work, ArtStation for digital art, Instagram for photography, Vimeo for video work, and SoundCloud for audio work.
Okay, prompt list for academics and researchers. You might appear on Google Scholar, on ResearchGate, academia.edu. You might have an ORCID profile, your university faculty page, and published paper databases.
and where our business professionals should be looking, their company website bio. We oftentimes don't update those as much as we probably should. Chamber of Commerce listings, industry association profiles, and conference presenter profiles.
And last of all, for consultants and freelancers, your Upwork profile, Fiverr profile, TopTotal, your personal consulting website, industry marketplace listings, and professional association directories. Hopefully that long list has given you some thoughts about where else you might appear.
Even if you haven't visited in a while,
mm-hmm.
You still have information on there. So food for thought. And you might be thinking that we were about to mention Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And if you have a presence there, we recommend that you review it. But many of us have an extensive professional presence online now and in places that you may have forgotten. So obviously, doing an outline search for your name will bring up many of the sites too, and a few that you might have forgotten that you were actually a part of. So make sure that you include this in your tasks as well.
And so this list could end up being quite extensive. So you might want to break up the updating task over several weeks. But we recommend, again, that you start with LinkedIn because it's the 500-pound gorilla. That's not right, is it? The 500-pound elephant? The elephant in the room? Anyway, LinkedIn is the place that most people are going to look first. So let's prioritize that. And then you can prioritize your list by relevance to your industry or how active you are on the site, depending. If you're posting on Stack Overflow every day, then that's probably what's going to come up first if a hiring manager looks for you. If you're not that active, then you probably want to go to like the most reliable source of information for your industry.
All right. Now let's talk about how you should update everything, including your profile pictures. Yes, once you've prioritized your list, you've created it, and you start with the updates, we all know that the reaction we have when we go to an outdated website, the one mistake makes us question everything else. You're like, oh, did I miss it? If I missed it on this one, I obviously missed it on everything else. So when we spot that error, we naturally assume that there are others hiding, and we start to doubt the attention to detail of the person behind the content. Right. So if we make those mistakes when people are searching for us, we assume that if they have one mistake, they're going to have more. And this is what hiring managers are searching for when they're thinking about potential candidates, and they're going to have exactly the same response. So if you look at someone's profile and you're like, oh, that's a mistake, just know that the hiring managers, that's how they're going to look at your profiles.
And we say with resumes as well, this is an example of your best work. A LinkedIn profile is the example of the face that you're putting out to the world. So people assume, I think rightly, that this is your best face. Like this is you with your hairbrush and your face washed. This is your best self. And so therefore, if there's mistakes or things that don't make sense or the profile's really old, then people naturally think, well, if that's the best, what's the worst? So obviously, the first task is to ensure your profile is current and accurate with no spelling or grammar or other obvious mistakes. And we hope also obvious is removing anything that might send the wrong message to a hiring manager. And we have addressed this before. Those photos where you're clearly, this isn't on LinkedIn in general, it's usually on Facebook or Instagram, I guess. Photos where you're clearly intoxicated, posts showing illegal, inappropriate, or dangerous behavior, commentary on politics, those kind of things. And what we often hear when we say that is that we're old and fuddy-duddy, which is probably true. But also, what I do in my own time is nothing. It's not the hiring manager's business. Like, why should they judge me by what I do on a Friday night? The person who is looking at your profile isn't looking at your qualifications. They're not looking to see if you can do the job. They're looking and imagining you as part of the team. And if your online presence suggests that you might be less productive on Monday morning because you have heavy weekends, or you consistently show poor judgment, they're likely to move on to other candidates because they don't want someone with poor judgment on their team, even if you only have poor judgment at home and you never do at work. That's not what they're going to assume. They're going to assume that the person you are is the person you are. So if that's true, your skills and experience and all the things you bring to work might never be considered because they're going to move on the moment they see something that suggests that there might be a problem. Who hires someone they think might have a problem? Like, no one. Like, we all hire the person we think is going to be an asset to our team and is never going to give you any hassle. And then after you've hired them, then you find out, because we're all human and we all make mistakes and cause other people hassle. But what we want to put forward is the idea that we're not going to be a hassle.
And cleaning up obvious problems is just the start. Next, you need to consider maintaining consistency across platforms, carefully curating what you share and who you engage with, ensuring that you're findable by the right people, and managing privacy settings so you can control your narrative. So you want to, I would say, Facebook and TikTok are a little crazy, but your LinkedIn is super professional, right? People will notice the difference. And if you're throwing information out there in a public domain, it's free game to look at, right? So keep it consistent. Clean up not just your professional profile, but keep in mind the presence that you have on all the other sites and make sure it's a consistent narrative that you're setting because it's your story to tell. If you're going to put it out there, make sure it's what you want people to know about you. And there are now privacy settings to help with that. Even on LinkedIn, I think there's pretty solid settings that you can set for who can find you and things like that.
Although if you are looking for another job, you probably want those set fairly laxly. So all your digital profiles need to be consistent, both with each other and your resume. So if your last job on LinkedIn is the job you're doing now and it's not on your resume, that's going to confuse someone. And the moment they look at two things and think the LinkedIn profile and the resume, those are not the same. I must be missing some information. And now I have to go ask the person for the information. I'm just going to go to the next person. Roles, companies, and dates must match exactly across platforms. And that depends, you know, in some places you can only write the year and in other places you can write the month and the year. So when I say exactly, I'm meaning with each other, not in the actual way it's written on the page. Even in candidate short markets where there are more jobs than there are candidates and hiring managers are desperate to hire, you might be able to get away with discrepancies then, but you won't in a job short market, and you might as well get in the habit now because those markets come around all of the time. It's a candidate market for a while, and then it's a hiring manager market for a while, and then back around. So you might as well keep it up to date and make sure it's right all of the time, because then you don't have to think, what kind of market am I shopping in?
And your professional persona needs to be consistent too. If you're presenting yourself as an executive on LinkedIn, the same level of professionalism should carry across all your platforms. Your GitHub bio can't undermine this with casual descriptions like code monkey, either literally or in tone. So make sure your titles are also consistent, because that's things that people notice.
You may be asking yourself, why should I engage manager tools to come in and work with my organization? Well, here are just some of the reasons. To unlock synergies that come from everyone learning the same guidance at the same time. To develop an internal support system where all people trained can leverage each other while implementing the behaviors. Because we learn about your organization upfront so we can tailor and benefit your audience, plus infuse your messaging into the content so that you can pick a date and time where folks don't have to travel, which could be expensive and take more time away from their daily work. Plus, our effective manager training comes with annual corporate licensing for each attendee. And you're afforded a manager tools logistics coordinator who will provide a bunch of help with the administration. Plus, probably the best reason from a business perspective is your investment and our core trainings of effective manager, effective communicator, and effective hiring manager afford you close to a 50% discount if you have a group of 30 people. We offer training on-site or virtually. To learn more, contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com today.
So the next thing we want to think about around controlling the narrative is what you're sharing and liking. So this is called engagement quality by marketers. And what we want to do is review the types of content you have shared and liked, the quality of the comments and discussions you've taken part in, and the balance between professional and personal content. Because there are numerous stories of falls from grace of public figures based not on what they personally shared, but what and who they liked and what that person was sharing, or what conversation they were part of and what they said. Not even maybe what they said, but what the conversation, where the conversation went. And your profile might not be as high as some celebrity, but the standards are. The only reason that celebrities are cancelled when they make one of those social media blunders is that the people, that's us, everybody, kind of demand that that person is cancelled, that that person is no longer supported, no longer the face of whatever brand they were the face of, and so on. And hiring managers are part of the people who make that decision too, and they have the same standards as you do about the people you're connecting with and the places you are and the conversations you're part of. So you need to go out one step, not just your profile, but the profiles of the people that you're connected to, that you're liking, and so on.
Let's talk about accessibility and discoverability. Can a hiring manager or someone else with a great opportunity reach you? Your contact details should be easy to find and to use. If someone needs you to send an email via the website, or that you need to receive an email via a website, make sure that that is very clear. And who are those messages going to, right? What forwarding system is being used? Is it coming to you? Is it going to somewhere else? Make sure that that's very clear.
Like on the Manager Tools website, when we send emails out to people, I don't know how many bounce out of the how many that we send, but that's because people have changed their email addresses, or they've given a work address and they're no longer at that workplace. And a lot of us have multiple email addresses. So if you're relying on LinkedIn, for example, to send you messages, if somebody's asked you, hey, do you want to talk about this job? Then that email, that alert, either you're going into LinkedIn every day and looking to see if there's an alert, or the alert needs to come to the email that you're checking every day.
So make sure you check those settings as well, because sometimes we shut off notifications.
That's true.
So make sure you turn them back on, so you're actually getting the notifications. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing.
And when we're talking about accessibility and discoverability, you don't need the complex SEO kind of strategies like businesses use to make sure that they come up high in Google results. But you do need to speak the language of your industry in the profile. So think about how a hiring manager would search for someone with your expertise. You need to use whatever's current for the standard skills for your skills and roles and industry specialties, not just in your skills section, but in your profile description. And if you have a job where the job title isn't the standard job title that's used in your industry for that kind of job, then changing that on your resume is a legitimate thing to do. If it says engineer 2 and everybody else in the industry calls that a junior developer, then change it on your resume and LinkedIn and everywhere else to junior developer. That's a legitimate change on your resume.
So other examples of this could be, if you're a full stack developer, that exact phrase should appear not just developer or programmer. If you work in customer success, use that term rather than customer service, if that's what your industry calls it. If you're in talent acquisition, make sure you're not just listing, recruiting. If your target roles use the newer terminology.
I was just thinking about HR. HR's been called everything in the last 30 years while I've been working, and it's not called HR anymore, but it was when I started work. But it's gone through a whole bunch of iterations of the way that we describe it, and so that could be one of the ones that you definitely need to change.
Now we're going to talk about privacy management. On the flip side of your accessibility and discoverability is going to be managing your privacy. Ensure that only which is helpful to your job search and or what you wish to reveal is actually revealed. So you can have the settings. Now, again, I think sometimes if you try to hide too much, like deleting profiles during your job search, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. But there are settings that you can make sure that you're, again, controlling the narrative.
And we're not talking about being secretive. We're talking about being strategic. So check in the privacy settings on all of your professional platforms to make sure the professional content is public and discoverable and your personal content stays personal. So for example, LinkedIn has settings to control who sees your network, who knows when you're editing your profile and what the hiring managers can discover about you. And you want to get those settings right before you start changing your profile, because otherwise, if you've got it wrong, some people who are connected to you are going to get like 27 updates when you change different parts of your profile. So you want to make that right. And while you're checking the settings, do a quick scan of any of the content that you're tagged in. Just like hiring managers judge spelling mistakes, they also judge that photo from the 2018 holiday party that your colleague tagged you in. You didn't put it on the website or in public. Your colleague did and attached your name to it. It's the kind of thing that people assume that you know. So if you know that, then and you're allowing it to stay up there, then you condone whatever's happening in that photo. And whether it's, I just don't want someone to see me in fancy dress or a costume or, you know.
I'm going ugly sweater. I don't need people to see me in my ugly sweater.
Yeah. So you can just, in most places you can say, I untag me or hide this as if I were not tagged. So make sure that that happens too.
You can be like me and just avoid the pictures. Just always offer to take the pictures at the holiday party.
That's the secret.
So then you can wear whatever ugly sweater you want. Just always be the photographer. All right. On the note of pictures, let's talk about your profile picture. So why did we mention profile pictures specifically? They're often the last thing that we tend to update. Most of us don't regularly get professional headshots taken, so there's a strong temptation to keep what we think is that good photo from a few years back, especially when we don't have something current and ready to replace that one. We love it. We keep it there. There's some risk involved to that.
Yeah, because what happens when you get on a Zoom call for that interview or you walk into the interview room, instead of focusing on your qualifications and your answers, the hiring manager is going, they don't look like their picture. I wonder when that picture was taken, because, you know, this person's got gray hair since then. Even if they don't spend a bunch of time thinking, how old is that photo, they might just feel misled. This often goes with people who cut off the older jobs of their resume to look younger, and then they'll use a picture that's 10 years younger. But the thing is, when you go into the interview, you're as old as you are, and you can't then hide it. And people feel misled because who you are and what you've done doesn't match what you told them ahead of time. And that's not the first impression you want to make. So a current professional photo builds trust and shows attention to detail. And if your photo is more than 3 years old, it's time for an update.
All right. Lastly, we're going to talk about how to reach out to your network. While you're doing all this work, creating your narrative, making adjustments, checking all of those tasks that we've talked about, you also need to take the opportunity to reach out to your network. You know, it's the first thing we would recommend once you have your digital footprints cleaned up and that your page is ready to go. Because it's about relationships, right? Surprise, surprise. You're already there. You've cleaned it up. It looks good. And now back to relationships, right?
And fortunately, you have a natural conversation starter that doesn't scream, help me find a job. Simple, happy new year feels genuine in January. And don't worry, if it's not new year, any holiday will do. Like happy July the 4th or happy Thanksgiving. Or even, I was just updating my profile and remembered our great work on. So you can use that as an introduction. And any of those openings allow you to reconnect on a professional level without having that awkward, I'm looking for a job. So I'm just talking to you for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah. You should be probably reaching out more, right? Mm-hmm. But use this opportunity as a jump starter to make those connections more frequently.
Yeah.
All right. So updating your digital presence isn't just a New Year's task. It's an ongoing career management. Whether you're actively job hunting or just staying open to opportunities, an update to your digital presence is as important as an update to your resume. Don't wait until you need a new role to start managing your digital reputation, because by then it might be too late. So we know we're saying, if you're doing this right now, but really don't wait. This should be a constant process, always evolving, because you never know when the next opportunity is going to arise and if they've already started to look at who you are.
And someone said to me recently that they find all of these recommendations that we make overwhelming, that there's too much to do and it makes them feel inadequate because they're not staying up professionally. So if you feel that way, don't worry about it, because probably 90% of people will say, I don't keep all of this stuff up the way I should. They'll say, I don't stay in contact as much as I know I should. Nobody feels adequate at any of the stuff that they do at work. Everybody knows they could be doing better and want to be doing better, and it doesn't matter. So start where you are and work from there. Like, judge yourself by your own actions. Compare yourself by your own actions, not to what you think everyone else is doing. I can guarantee you that everyone else, even if they read or listened to every single cast we've ever given, nobody is doing every single action. So start where you are and only judge yourself by your own progress. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. Join us next week as we cover a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.